welcome back in. Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Coming up, we have one of the most renowned cookbook authors in the world joining us on our Food Time show today, Dori Greenspan, who baked with Julia Child and so many of the other greats, joining us today to help you with your holiday baking. But it's always a pleasure to welcome into our studios our pal from I don't know how many productions that we've seen him on stage here in Chicago. But you know him from motion pictures. You know him certainly from the TV series Frasier. Our old friend John Mahoney joining us in studio here. John, welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Dan. Sorry you had to be the guy to come in after the cute kids.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well.
Got to be difficult to follow, the cute kids coming in. And
right.
We have this, incredible opera singers.
Well, at least you didn't have any dogs or anything.
That's right. Nothing to clean up.
Right.
How are you doing? You look
doing
so
great.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I'm doing great. Just recently got back from Ireland, did a play in Galway. Chapati that we started at Northlight, and then just got back from Manchester, England, where I went over to do an episode of Foyle's War, which is a great TV show.
The BBC
I like.
Series, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And nice thing about that is they put me up in Manchester, but we shot it in Liverpool. But I still have family in Manchester, so it was great.
Yeah.
And they'd drive me to the set. It was only 45 minutes in the mornings. Had a great time, and it was
so you got a
wonderful
chance to catch up with family?
Yes, yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people know. I mean, you are so part of Chicago.
Right.
And the Midwest. A lot of people don't know that you were born in the UK.
That's right, yeah. I was born in 1940 Actually, my family lives in Manchester, but I was born in Blackpool because Manchester was being bombed. So they sent all the expectant mothers to safe places, and that's why I was born in Blackpool and lived there till I was 19 in Manchester.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And not a trace of an accent either.
I worked very hard to lose it.
Do you get back into your accent at all when you're there?
Do you know what? No, I don't. And it's... I tried so hard to lose it. I think I put some sort of mental block into my mind about ever speaking that way again. Because and it was only because I just wanted to, I knew I was going to spend the rest of my life here.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to sound like a foreigner all my life.
Yeah.
I just wanted to sound like everybody else. So
yeah,
I worked very hard at it.
For the longest time that I've known you, you went back and forth all the time. You mm-hmm. always kept a home here mm-hmm. in the Chicago area.
Right.
But you were always working,
yeah.
usually in Los Angeles, back
right.
and forth, back and forth.
Right.
And you're pretty much done with that now.
Yeah, I am. Since Frasier finished, I've been out there a couple of times, done a couple of movies. But actually, the funny part about it is the movies that I did were not shot out there. One was in Rhode Island and one was in Michigan.
Yeah.
And then I've done a few TV things out there. But for the most part, I don't have to travel out there again, and that's fine. I really don't want to. 11 years of living out of a suitcase with Frasier was enough,
yeah,
I guess, basically.
That's got to be so exhausting, I would think, to go back and forth, and that you didn't make the commitment to move there during that time, because mm-hmm. Chicago was your home. I respect mm-hmm. that so
yeah.
much from you. You've decided this is where your roots are. This is where your
right.
home is.
Yeah, I never wanted to move. I remember... thinking I was the only person on the Paramount parking lot that had an Oak Park sticker on his car for 11 years.
The best sticker they could have on that lot, by the way.
Everybody would say, aren't you going to get towed? Aren't you get in trouble? But no, nobody ever bothered me about it. I never bought anything out there, mainly for tax reasons, and I just rented a furnished apartment. But I'm glad it's all over. It was great fun to do the show, but it was I didn't like being away from home that
yeah.
long.
Yeah, and as popular as that show was, as popular as you were on that popular show, you could have gone on and done series after series after series, I imagine.
Yeah, I've been offered quite a few series since Frasier finished, and some pretty good ones, too. But I just don't want to... I'd do a guest spot on something... But I'm not going to spend months and months and sign a 5-year contract again to spend all that time out of town. It's just, I'm in my 70s now. I want to enjoy some of the fruits of my labor and just
yeah.
relax a bit.
Yeah, good. And do what you want to do,
right,
which
right.
is theater.
Right.
Whether it's in Galway or in mm-hmm. Manchester, wherever you happen to be. But
right.
we love any time that we can see you on stage somewhere in Chicago. It's what a treat.
I love being on stage in Chicago. Yeah.
What is the Chicago theatrical experience? What is that for an actor? What does that mean?
one of the most important things for me about working in Chicago is everybody's, you know, it's there's a Midwest tenor to it. Everybody is, you know, nobody has, you don't find too many airs. You don't find too many people, trying to be all important
diva. The diva factor is very low
here, and I love that. I just, you know, we're all together in it. It really doesn't matter whether you've got one line to say or five monologues. You're all committed to doing a great show, and that's the important thing, which is something I really learned from Kelsey. You know, when we were doing Frasier, he was always, the only thing he wanted was a great show. He didn't care if David got all the laughs or if I got all the laughs or anybody else, as long as it was a good show. And he would like tell writers who would come when we'd start a new episode, no, I'm sorry, we're not doing those jokes. We don't do that. We assume that our audience has a brain in its head, and that's what we're playing to.
Yeah, don't you think that's sort of the key to the success of Frasier, but really of all the great shows, where it's the cast or a star of the show who doesn't mind not being the one who's getting all the attention, that he shares the shares the attention, that he knows that makes for the most entertaining end product, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and we all understood that because we all came from pretty much the same background. I mean, when Kelsey got his first job on Cheers, he was working for Joe Papp in New York. I think he was doing Othello. David, of course, has traveled all over the world with Peter Brooks and everybody else doing theater. Jane and just starred in Broadway and Cabaret. And Perry was at Williamstown every year. We were all the same. We all came from the same background, and we were all interested in doing a good show, not necessarily. You know, we like to shine a little bit too. I mean, sure, we do have egos, but our main purpose and our main thrust was putting out a good show.
You know, we had the pleasure of spending some time with Kelsey when he was here doing his series Boss.
Right.
That was here in Chicago. I wondered, I mean, did you feed him some of his Chicago-ness?
No, that I didn't.
I said to him over and over, it's like, John has got to be the one feeding. You are so Chicago in this.
Yeah. Is. He's so good in that. He's I don't know, unless he took something from me without me knowing, you know. But no, I never sat down with him and said, you know, you've got to say it this way,
or do it this way.
No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, he wouldn't take it. I mean, Kelly's got a healthy ego. He wouldn't take that from me.
So you're in doing something very special for one of my favorite places, the Auditorium Theater. That's celebrating its anniversary, unbelievably, 125 years of the Auditorium Theater. We'll come back and talk more with John Mahoney about that. It's 11:21, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. It's 11:25, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN with our Chicago's very own John Mahoney in studio with us this morning, talking about a special event that he's going to be part of. It's the Auditorium Theater's anniversary gala, 125 years of the amazing Auditorium Theater, and a special event that's going on there this coming Tuesday night on December the 9th. Tell us a little about that, John.
Well, it's the 125th anniversary, and it's an amazing, if any building deserves this sort of praise, it's the Auditorium. Sort of the grand old, it's just such a magnificent building. Everything about it, it was designed by Adler and Sullivan with their young apprentice, Frank Lloyd Wright. It was opened originally, the cornerstone was laid by President Cleveland. When it reopened, it was with President Harrison. Everybody has been there. Everybody from John Philip Sousa to Sarah Bernhardt to one of the person who opened the theater, this is kind of interesting, was probably the most famous soprano of that era. Her name was Adelina Patti. And Verdi said that she had like the greatest voice he had ever heard in his life. And she opened the auditorium singing her theme song, which was Home Sweet Home.
Wow.
And we're very, very fortunate with the to have her great-great-niece, Patti LuPone.
No kidding.
At the the festivities on Tuesday night.
Is she going to sing Home Sweet Home?
I don't know what she's going to
sing. Oh, she has to
but
sing.
But you know she's going to. Patty's done a lot of work there, of course, because Evita, right. God knows how many times that played there. And when you look at it, it's an amazing building, and everybody thought it would, you know, there would be no problems. It was a hotel. It had offices. It housed the Chicago Symphony. It housed the Chicago Opera Company at that time. But then as more hotels opened, they started losing money. And then the symphony moved out to its own place. And then the opera company moved out to its own place. And eventually it went broke and almost was demolished. Thank goodness it wasn't.
Can you imagine if they had taken that down?
That would be
just stunning. I mean, it wouldn't have been the first time some boneheaded business decision came around and destroyed one of the true architectural gems in the world,
absolutely.
Not just in Chicago, but in the world. It's
absolutely.
Amazing to me that could even be in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, yeah. It took a woman and putting together the auditorium council to raise money to actually open it again. And it opened again with, I believe, the New York City Ballet dancing Midsummer Night's Dream there. That's how it opened. And since then, everything, everybody's played there, from John Philip Sousa to The Who.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
I remember, I don't know why this is so in my mind, but I remember seeing Joan Rivers...
Really,
on that gigantic stage, this gigantic theater.
Yeah.
The last place that you would think something as intimate as stand-up comedy would work. And Joan Rivers... commanded this giant auditorium.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen anybody work a giant auditorium like that.
It's amazing.
But, name it. Name the musical that's played there. Name the performer. Yeah. Intimate musical performance.
And they all love to do it because, well, for one thing, the acoustics are a matchless.
Perfect.
Absolutely. And then the sight lines, there just simply isn't a bad seat there.
Yeah.
And it's just a great, great, historic, gorgeous building that everybody should see before.
Well, good for you for being part of this amazing night. Patti LuPone, I had no idea of that connection. That is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Jim Peterik, our friend from Survivor, is going to be part of the night. And the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater and the Joffrey Ballet and the Lyric Opera.
Yeah.
Too bad you couldn't get anyone lined up for this night.
John. No, yeah.
Chicago Symphony Orchestra, the Apollo Chorus is going to be a part of it.
Right.
It's going to be a really, really special night this coming Tuesday night. At this lovely, lovely auditorium theater.
Right.
Do you have information there on if people want to get tickets, et cetera? I don't have.
I don't. Isn't that terrible? But I don't.
Carly, do you have that?
AuditoriumTheater.org.
Okay. You can say it a little louder.
Go to AuditoriumTheater.org.
Okay. We have a talking press release here. Harvard Carly over here.
Hi.
AuditoriumTheater.org.
Right.
If you want to get information on that. This past summer, I was reporting when Lollapalooza was in Grant Park.
Mm-hmm.
I report live from there every year, and almost every year it's a complete disaster being out on the street with some people who may have been imbibing in whatever substance of their choice you might expect during Lollapalooza.
Right.
So this year we got smart, and we got a fantastic place to do our live broadcast inside the auditorium, not in the theater itself, but inside Roosevelt University. Mm-hmm. That's part of the complex there.
Right.
It's the most, I spent almost 2 days there, most beautiful, gorgeous, nuanced, spectacular architectural place that you could possibly be.
Right.
Learn about the Auditorium Theater and Roosevelt University that's part of it and that whole complex that they have.
Yeah.
It's a real gem in
Absolutely.
Chicago.
And there are a lot of gems in Chicago architecturally with our association with Frank Lloyd Wright and Mies van der Rohe. But I don't think there's anything that quite tops because it's so perfect inside and out. You just can't get a better place than the auditorium.
Yeah. Well, you're a pretty good Chicago gem yourself, John. We love that you love Chicago so much. We love that you're nice enough to come in on a Sunday morning to talk with us. Always have. Always a great guy.
Thank you.
Always,
it's great to be here.
Always good to see you, too. And the big gala is this coming Tuesday night, the 125th anniversary gala of the Auditorium Theater, auditoriumtheater.org. And John Mahoney, have a great holiday, John.
Thanks,
Thank you for coming in. We'll take
great
a break.
To be here.
We'll update the news next on WGN.